He's risen, as each week we've been looking at how Christ's resurrection impacts our lives. In our last couple weeks, we looked at how, since Jesus rose from the dead, we will have true joy, and how we'll have a true purpose in life. And today, we're going to focus on, because Jesus rose from the dead, we will have fruitful lives. So to start this message off, I want you to imagine that you are one of Jesus' disciples, right there with him. It was the night before he was going to get arrested and sentenced to be crucified, and he had just an intimate group of his disciples in a room, and he was preaching to them. And that's when he opened his mouth and said, "I am the true treadmill. Whoever does enough good things and keeps up and really breaks a sweat will get to go to heaven, but whoever falls off and doesn't try hard enough will be sent to hell." Have you ever heard that parable before? I hope not, because it's not actually in the Bible. But maybe, at times, this is something that we struggle to believe. That Christianity is just about believing the right stories that help you do good things. And as long as you're doing enough good things, as long as you consider yourself a good person, you get to go to heaven. But if you stop trying, if you don't try hard enough, you will fall off and get sent to hell. But today, we aren't going to look at that parable. Instead, we are going to look at a much richer metaphor, something much more beautiful, where Jesus compares himself as the vine and we are the branches. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." So Jesus calls himself the vine, and we are the branches. Now, I don't know all that much about grapevines, but from what I hear, what you should be picturing is a large bush with a trunk about waist high. And the idea behind that is that it's the vine that's supporting the branches. The vine's the thing that's giving life to the branches, not the other way around. The vine supports the branches don't support the vine. And in here, Jesus says that the Father is the gardener. And the gardener is at work. He's seeing all the branches that don't produce fruit, all the dead branches he cuts off. And even for those that are producing good fruits, he's still pruning so they can make even more fruit. So the comparison there is that for those people that don't have faith, God is the one who cuts them off and they get sent to hell. But for those who do have faith, God is still working in our lives, pruning in our lives, so that we can produce even more good works and good fruits in his name. But isn't that, in some ways, somewhat terrifying to think that there are dead branches that get sent to hell and the good branches produce fruit? But Jesus right away comforts us in the next verses. He says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." He says, you're already clean. Because you have faith in Jesus, you're already clean. You don't need to worry about if you're a dead branch or a branch that's producing fruit. You're clean because you have faith in Jesus' name. Then he goes on to say, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So Jesus tells us to remain in him and to continue to make good fruits. And the only way that we can do good fruits and do properly good works is by being connected to Jesus. Every year, around September or October, there's this strange phenomenon that happens. And guys, if you've ever been in any type of serious relationship before, maybe you're married, you probably have experienced this phenomenon. And that is, you're driving around in October with your wife or significant other, and you see a sign for an apple orchard. And that's when she gets the great idea, "Hey honey, wouldn't it be a great date idea if we went and go pick apples together?" And I know this works, because if you go on Facebook in October, you see great pictures of a wife holding a bag of apples and a guy kind of just like sheepishly grinning there. I'm sure you've seen them before. So for anyone who's ever been on that date before, or been to an apple orchard, or anyone who's seen an apple tree, we'll make it that broad. Have you ever seen an apple tree struggling to make apples? Ever seen an apple tree go, must produce good fruit, and then like an apple grows on it? No, that's not how apple trees work. apple trees make apples. That's what they do, naturally. And Christians produce good fruit. That's what they do, naturally. Since we know what Jesus did for us, since we know that Jesus died and rose from the dead, that's going to change our lives. That's going to allow us to produce good fruits just by being connected to Jesus. It's going to change the way we think. It's going to change the way we live. It's going to change the way how we see our lives. Christians produce good fruit because we know what Jesus has done for us. Jesus goes on to say the same point. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So once again, Jesus says that by not being connected to Jesus, we cannot do any good works. The only way we can produce good fruit in God's eyes is by being connected to Jesus. And he says that those dead branches, those that don't produce any fruit, they will be cut off and they will be thrown into the fire. And that's a dangerous thing. So a few weeks ago was Easter. And I spent my Easter in Toronto, Ontario. That's in Canada. That's where I vicared last year, and I went back to my old vicar church to help out there. And before the big Easter service, they have a big Easter egg hunt where they invite all sorts of family and their children from the community to come to our church for an Easter egg hunt. And my job was to carry around this giant green egg. So when the kids would walk by me, they would say, "Hey, what's in the egg?" And then I would say, "Oh, if you want to find out, you better come to our children's devotion." Pretty sneaky, huh? So while I was doing this, I was mingling with the families. That's what I was supposed to be doing. And one man came up to me and said, "Hey, thanks so much for putting on this program for our children. I love it so much. But before I got here, I told my children that the stories you're going to hear, they're just stories that some people believe to help them live better lives. I don't think they're true, but they're just some stories that some people believe so that they could live a better life." And I politely disagreed. But that's when he said, "I don't want to push Christianity on my children because I want them to have open minds." And just like that, he walked away from me. Have you ever had any of these thoughts before? Where the Bible is just a bunch of good stories that help people live good lives? Well, you know what you're doing if you believe that? You're turning the parable of the vine and the branches into the parable of the treadmill. You're turning the Bible into a thing where you just have to do good works to get to heaven. But I know so many of you have been going to church for a long time, and you probably know that that's not the way to heaven. But I bet at times this is something we still struggle to believe. God willingly, in 1 month, I will be a pastor. I will graduate all my classes, and I'll get to be a pastor. And I've been warned many times that as a young pastor, this is a very easy trap to fall into, where you demand specific fruits out of the members of your church. Let me give you an example. So say I go to a church one day, and it's pretty easy that they have a big gossiping problem. So what do I do? Next Sunday, I preach a sermon about how bad gossiping is. But then I come the week after that, and guess what the people are still doing? Gossiping. And I get down on myself, and I say, "Come on, don't these people want to be good Christians? They need to do this good work." And you know what happens if I would do that? I turn the parable of the vine and the branches into the parable of the treadmill. Maybe you've done this in your life as well. Maybe if you're a parent, you've experienced this, where you say to yourself, "I sent my child to Christian education for 10 years, and they're still a rebellious teenager. Don't they want to be a good Christian? Don't they want to do good things?" And when you do that, you turn the parable of the vine, the branches, to the parable of the treadmill. Or maybe you've done that in your own life as well, where you want to produce big fruit. You want to be a good person. You want to produce big Cinderella pumpkin carriage-sized good fruit in your life, but instead you struggle to just produce little raspberries and continue to struggle in your own sins. And you think to yourself, "Come on, I got to do better. If I want to have a good relationship with God, I need to do good things." And when you're doing that, you're turning the parable of the vine and the branches into the parable of the treadmill and good works. So then how do we properly do good works? Jesus tells us that we produce good works in our lives, but how do we properly do that? How do we properly see good works in the life of the Christian? Well, it comes from looking at the true vine. Jesus Christ is the true vine who came to this world, and he produced good fruit. Jesus did so many good things for so many people. He healed the sick. He made the lame walk. He gave hearing to the deaf. Jesus produced good fruit. And Jesus also spent time with so many different people. He spent time with outcasts and prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. Jesus had compassion on his people, and he produced good fruit. But even though Jesus did this, he was still rejected in this world and sentenced to be crucified on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was abandoned by the Father while he died on the cross. And as he died on the cross, he was experiencing the full torments of hell while he was paying for the sins of the whole world. Jesus was cast out so that we could be brought in. Jesus was disconnected from God the Father so that we could be connected. Jesus, the true vine, was cut off so that we could be brought in to God's family. And knowing that Jesus did this for us, that's going to change the way we live. Out of thankfulness to God that he gives us the gift of forgiveness of sins, just as a free gift, that's going to allow us to produce good fruit in our lives. Jesus closes the section with these words. He says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So Jesus tells us that as we produce good fruit in our lives, as we do good things, people will notice that. And that's our way that we can let our light shine to show that we have a wonderful Savior who gives us the free gift of forgiveness of sins. As we do good things, we help other people, and the other people that might not know about Jesus, that might give us an opportunity for them to ask us about why we do good things. It's our way of showing our light for our Savior. So my encouragement to you is to continue to produce good fruit. I'd like to speak to two different groups of people here this morning. And the first group is some of the mature branches here. I've talked to many people in Mount Olive and found out that there are many people here who have known Jesus their whole life. You got baptized here at a young age, and years later, you're still attending here regularly and are connected to Jesus. And let's praise God for that. So how could you produce fruit in this world? Well, my encouragement for you is to let your light or your life be a model to some of the younger branches out there. Show people what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Show them what it means to have Jesus affect your relationships, your marriage, your family, your finances. Show them what it looks like and encourage them to stay connected to Jesus and to grow up in the Lord. And what about the younger branches here? Some of the people who aren't so mature yet in their faith, who are still learning some of the key Bible doctrines. Well, my encouragement to you is if you are still even in school, I encourage you to stay connected to Jesus. Every time I hear about how many children go to Mount Olive, I'm always encouraged because it's that many children who get to hear God's word every single day during the school year. And I just heard that yesterday we had 34 confirmations, where we had 34 eighth graders publicly declare their faith and are confirmed in it. And we should praise God for that. So my encouragement to you, so some of the younger branches, is to stay connected to God's word. Absorb the scriptures. Work hard on your memory work, because what you learn now will stick with you for the rest of your life. Jesus motivates us to do good works. Jesus motivates us to do good things because of the great gift that he gave us. I'd like to leave you this morning with one more image. And I know I was talking a lot about treadmills and working out and whatnot, so I'd like to show you one more fitness equipment. And here it is. It's the six-pack ab belt, circa 2008-2009, as seen on TV. And the idea behind this ab belt was, all you have to do, you put it on, and you let it do its magic for 10 minutes, and afterwards, you'll have great abs. Don't need to do any working out at all. The belt does it all for you. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a good fitness strategy, just to let this equipment do it for you? Probably not. You probably think you need to do a little bit more work to do something like that to actually get in shape. But what if I told you that this is the concept for our spiritual lives? Where it's not so much about how hard you work, but it's about who you are connected to. Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches. And what I love so much about that parable is about how passive we are in the process. Jesus is the one who gives us our salvation. He's the one who gives us our faith. And he's also the one that allows us to do good works. Jesus is the one who does that for us. So I encourage you to stay connected to him and to produce good fruits in his name. We do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.